Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. Welcome along to an upbeat, positive, optimistic podcast, thanks to Talker winning at Boreham Wood on Tuesday night.
You were telling me earlier on that, I can't remember who you were talking about, it said, your podcast is going to be upbeat this week, is it?
It's Tom, the Argyle fan. He sent me a message on Tuesday night and said, I suppose your podcast is going to be all upbeat and positive.
Well, here we are, Tom.
And they say it's the hope that kills you. We've used that phrase once or twice before, but, you know, and I've just, as you'll hear in a minute, I mentioned the same thing to Gary during the podcast. There are fans for whom the season finished a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But then suddenly they go and pull off, and against all the odds, and it was against all the odds because Ladbrokes had it as a 5-1. A win at Boreham Wood on Tuesday night. The gaps close a little bit, and we think, hang on a minute. You start whistling the Great Escape. Gary's revving up the motorbike up there.
Yeah. The only annoying thing is, of course, you're sitting there seeing the other bloody teams winning as well. You know what I mean? Dorking winning and
Gateshead won as well,
and then okay, Scunthorpe drew, but slightly annoying, but hey ho, you can't have everything in one go.
Absolutely. So this week's podcast, we chat to Gary Johnson in a moment. Quite a long chat with Gary this morning. We'll talk about the response that we received from Gaming International.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that after we've spoken to Gary.
Mm-hmm.
We've got loads of games to talk about. We'll delve back into the 87-88 season for a bit of all our yesterdays.
Okay. It's going to be a long podcast today, guys.
We'll try and predict what's going to happen in the last seven games, and we'll dabble with artificial intelligence.
Which is more intelligent than us, as it turns out.
All that and more coming up on the other side of Gary Johnson.
So, Gaffer, only one place to start, really, wasn't it? Tuesday night, how pleasing was it to see everything come together as would have been the plan before the match?
Well, of course, very, very, very pleasing. You know, we always do our due diligence, if you like, on the opposition. We know what you need against Boreham Wood, and the boys executed it very, very well on the day. And you know, our stats, our running, and our work rate helped us win that game. You know, we had some good athletes on the pitch there, and it was a great goal. It was one that, for once, We kept an opposition down to not scoring, which was good. And tough game, absolutely. It always is a tough game when you go to Boreham Wood. But it was nice of, you know, broken our little run of non-wins. And so although the coach was happy coming back for an hour, and then you look back and it looked like the bum had gone off and everyone was lying everywhere. We enjoyed it, and it's good to get started again, and we'll see how we go, how we get on from here on in.
After the disappointment of Dagenham, it would have been easy for Heads to have gone down going into the Boreham game, knowing what a physical side they are, knowing that they've got a great home record. But it was also really good to see Tuesday night defending in numbers, attacking in numbers, and everyone to a man putting a solid performance, even coming off the bench as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what I alluded to in the work rate, the athleticism that was on the pitch. But you have to compete with Boreham Wood. That's their strength. And of course, they're in the playoffs at the moment, so they've won more than they've lost. They don't let in many goals. I think they've got the best goals against column. So it was tough, and we had to stay in it for the whole game. We got our goal at the right time, just before half time. And when we needed to defend, we defended in the second half. And I was as always, so pleased for the people that travel all them hours and all the road closures that we all had going back. And obviously the lads got back, you know, very, very late, but they should be recovered now. And we're looking forward to the next game at Scunthorpe.
That will lead me to my next question. Obviously, games coming thick and fast, but a real good opportunity now with that win, with momentum, with a bit of confidence as well. Going a chance now to close the gap maybe on the ones above us, but also maybe just put a little gap between the ones that are below us as well, one of those being Scunthorpe. How are you viewing Saturday and what's the preparations been? How's the preparation going to be looking?
Yeah, of course it's a big game. You know, it's against one of your rivals down the bottom there. It's good to get a win before you go to one of your rivals, and the confidence that brings, if you like. But we believe that we're well in it. You know, some people like to say we're out of it, but you know, it'd be nice if they turn that round and say until we're out of it, we're not out of it. You know, staying up. And I think all the teams around us, below us and above us, still see us as in it, as in the fight. And the boys showed at Boreham Wood, we got that fight. And I think they've shown it in the last few games, despite not getting results. So, you know, we want to show that we're up for it, and then take each game as it comes, as everybody says. The next game's Scunthorpe, and especially when it's against your nearest rivals. I know we're level points and we've got a game in hand on them, but they'll still see it that they're in it as well, if they can get a result. Every result now is massive, and be lovely, as you say, to get a little run of wins. But we can't look that far ahead at the minute. What we're saying is we've got to win the next game. Then after that, we've got to win the next game. You know, and that's really how you... We can all have a crystal ball that, you know, won't tell you anything, really. It'd be nice if it would, and we can all relax. But we'll be fighting in every game to get ourselves out of the position we're in.
And we saw on Tuesday night that the team was a mixture, and quite an even mixture of young players and experienced players like Sebastian Hall, Kevin Dawson, and obviously Jack Stobbs. And obviously Tom Lapsley is now back in contention for this weekend. How pleasing is it for you to have such a wide choice now with the injuries all clearing up almost a full squad to select from?
We've been seeing the squad grow, get stronger, if you like. It's not too late, despite what some people say. And, you know, we're happy with the energy that we're showing and the commitment that we're showing. Now, yes, unfortunately, the last few games we've let in goals, especially at home, late on. That's not because the boys are not trying. That's because at this level, an opposition get at you when they're behind. And we've got to be good enough to stop that. Well, we was against Boreham Wood, which is good. And that's how we've got to keep that sort of positive mentality, if you like, that we go into every game believing that we're gonna get a result. And that's how they have to be. Now, once you get a result, then that belief becomes even stronger. And that's we're very pleased with that.
First time we've spoken, Gary, since he brought Frank Nublé in. How big a coup was getting Frank?
It was very good to bring Frank in, you know, that experience, because what he gives you is not only experience on the pitch, but he's got that calmness and coolness off the pitch. You know, he's not a ranter and raver, but he's, you know, when he talks to people, you listen. And I think they respect what he's done and what he does and what he's going to do, because he's still, you know, it's probably every game he plays gets him a little bit more fit, if you like. And he's desperate, to do well for us. Now we got him because actually, God bless him, he wanted a challenge. You know, he didn't want to just see the season out somewhere in mid-table. And we was able, between me and Downsy, to have a chat with him and convince him in the end, because he took a couple of weeks to make his decision, to come to us. And we're very pleased that he has, because he is a presence, and they're important at this moment in time. And so, really pleased to have him, and we haven't yet seen the best of him, but we will do, and I'm sure he'll play a big part in us recovering.
There's always a little bit of a worry, isn't there, with the geography? Did the fact that he's already played down the southwest with Argyle help at all?
Maybe. We've not asked, you know, what turned the tide. We'd like to think it was what we were saying to him, and you can't say we're going to win the league, because you can see the league table, do you know what I mean? But I think he's played with players that have played with me and Downsy, and I think they helped in convincing him that we were the right club for him at this moment in time. And the club, of course, have done well, because you have to look after somebody who's got a family and one young, very young, 4 or 5 weeks old baby, and a couple of other kids. So the club's done very well to assist us in bringing Frank here.
Tom Lapp's obviously ready to come back in. If this was day one of the new season, how strong a side do you think Torquay are now? What sort of position would you be looking at if we start again now?
Well, it's hypotheticals, isn't it, of course. And but we, you know, as you get, what we can't do, we can't suddenly get in 11 Royder Rovers, you know what I mean? We have to wait for all the older ones that remember Royder Rovers. And I know I've said it before, but we have to, you can only get them when people become available. And then for every one we bring in, we've probably lost 5 or 6 due to whatever it is, not the club and not us, but it's the mainly the location, and as we've talked about before. So you have to wait, and then you build on that. You know, all of a sudden Stobbsy becomes available, for instance. All of a sudden Lewis Collins becomes a, you know, and it'd be great if they all became available at the same time. But they all stay with their clubs until they know where they are with that club they're at. And then if there's an opportunity for us, then at least we're on the ball as far as chatting to these players and putting ourselves in a situation where we've got a chance to take them once we've identified them. Now we've got 100 players that we identify and say, look, it'd be great if he became available. And then when they do, we're sort of ready.
You've been very unlucky with the left-back position. Is there any joy there, Dan or Ben, close?
Yeah, we had some good news yesterday, actually, that Dan's a lot nearer than we thought that he might be, because there was a few little complications that the poor lad has had. He stayed fit because he's been training, but we've had to wait for some tests and that sort of thing. And the tests have come back good, and I think, you know, he can start training now as normal, because he could only train at 80%, because of the, I said before, the COVID situation and the long COVID and little bits of, his ankle is absolutely fine. That's been fine for a little while now. But anyway, he's back in the fray, and pleased to have another squad member that is a first team player.
So, you're playing April 1st. I'm sure there won't be any April Fool's Day jokes on Saturday, but any particular pranks you've enjoyed over the years from the footballing world?
Not really, because that can come back on you over the Easter period when you play 2 games and you start pranking people. It comes back on you, doesn't it? But always at Easter is a very, very important time for football clubs. And so, I mean, I probably have, but I can't remember them, you know what I mean? If I remember them, I'll come back to you. But really, you're thinking about the 2 games over Easter and how important they are, and then you have to work out your schedule. And we've had two away games, then we get a home game, and then we get another away game. So, you know, we're planning. We're planning. And always you have to plan at Easter.
Thank you, Gary.
No problem.
Against Dagenham and Redbridge last Saturday, Torquay were the better side for 75, 78 minutes. And then we all know what happened after that. But Tuesday they were the better side for 90. What was the key to that? Was it defence and goalkeeper? Because defence and goalkeeper were outstanding Tuesday.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's everyone. You know, at the end of the day, it's you've still got to press from the front. You've got to have that presence up the front for when you do have to clear it, and then they keep hold of it for a little while longer. But we also, as I said to you just now, we had a lot of athletes on the pitch, you know, that we know through Lewis' analysis that we get after every game, that we ran hard. We ran the hard yards, as they say, and everybody did. Not that they didn't do it before, but you almost earn your own luck sometimes. You know, against Dagenham, as you say, for an hour we were the better team. And I think, you know, people go home disappointed, of course they do, when they've seen us lose. But at times, we were probably the better team on most of the game, and then either lost or we drew late on, or whatever it was. So, those things happen, don't they? But I just think we are, you know, it's not too late, but because we're still in it. But we've got a group of lads that are, you know, you can't say we've cracked it on one win.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So we've really got to get our heads together and go, right, we've done that now we've got to do the same against Scunthorpe. Then we've got to do the same against Eastleigh, and, you know, so on and so forth. So that's really our main focus.
That win on Tuesday, does it in a strange way increase the pressure? I know for like nobody here, obviously, but some fans, as you mentioned just now, heads have gone down a little bit and
yeah,
maybe thinking it's all over. But then after Tuesday, they're thinking, hang on a minute, we're still in this.
Yeah.
Does it ramp the pressure up a little bit?
The pressure's always going to be there anyway, isn't it? But what you want to ramp the belief up. Because, you know, if you're going into war, you need everyone believing in what's going on, at least until you lose the war. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a war scenario. We're in a sporting war scenario. And so, you know, you can't do much about some people that will always be like that. Yeah, we're all disappointed where we are. But if we can get that wave of, how I say it, enthusiasm and that wave of belief that we're going to do it, then you've got a better chance than if you haven't got that belief or you haven't got that enthusiasm. So, I mean, I was, you know, really happy with the gate that we got at Dagenham, for instance, with the away support that we're still getting, you know, and we want to do it for them, basically. That's what we want to do. And that's, you know, if it all comes off, as I've said, then people can look back at themselves and go, well, actually, I gave my support all through that. If it doesn't come off, then they can then have their opinion, if you like, and be disappointed, sort of thing. But, you know, not at the moment. At the moment, we've all got to, everyone's got to give it a go. Some will never, but we have got people that can help us win, especially our home games. That's what, you know, our club prides itself on, that home support. And we need to keep that going until there's nothing to cheer about.
Gary, Acer coming back in has been huge, hasn't it? I mean, I think within a couple of minutes of him coming on to come back from the subs bench, he sort of started winning headers.
Mm.
And you've missed that, haven't you?
Yeah, well,
and then of course they had a goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Ace has scored a lot of goals for this football club, hasn't he? It's just a shame that he's been out for so long, so often, you know, with a few problems. But he's fit now, and he's looking like the Ace we all know and love. Yeah. And the move at Boreham Wood was a super move that led to his goal. There was like four or five people involved in it, and And you know, if the ball comes into the area like that, then your number one person for being there to get that goal in would be Asa.
Yeah, she made it look easy, but it wasn't easy, was it?
No, because it was people on the line, and you know, he wasn't free, but he was determined to get onto it, and it was just a fantastic header.
Yeah.
And because he's lad on the line, he's actually put it in the corner, otherwise the lad would have cleared it. And yeah, so we're pleased that he's back in, and pleased that he gives us again that presence, and you know that he can come up with a goal or two.
And timing-wise, with Tom out, it was the perfect time for him to come back.
Well, it was, yeah, and sometimes you can be lucky like that, you know. So that's why we're saying we just got to keep going, keep badgering away, but keep that belief in our plans.
You've got Tom back as well the weekend.
Yeah.
And the combination of Asa and Kevin Dawson has been pretty good.
Yeah.
When we've seen them, is that a? I'm sure you've been thinking about it the last 48 hours.
Well, you have to.
Is that a problem or?
It's always a. It's not a problem because you like that problem. We want that problem. Who do we pick? You know what I mean? Because then if somebody gets a little knot, you know you've got the player that you wanted in the first place. For instance, if that's the case, other than the one you picked. Then you know you've got a strong bench, that the one for one doesn't make you any weaker, if you like. And we've got that at the moment. You know, I'm pleased with like Ben Wyatt came on. I was pleased with what he did. So yeah, Ali came on, and yeah, after a couple of miss-hits, then he very much got in the game. But we got a squad now that we can pick from. It's not a problem, but I know what you mean. It's a decision that the manager and the coach, Downsy, assistant manager, has to, and we discuss it every minute of the day almost, you know,
sure.
Who's our best team for this particular game.
Yeah. Someone just touching on the pressures of these things. I think it was Kenny Dalglish said one day that the pressures of playing for the European Cup are a double compared with fighting against relegation, and he probably didn't fight too many relegations at Battles, did he?
Yeah.
One or two of the older players would have experienced this, you've experienced it, Aaron's experienced it. Some of the younger players may be going through this for the first time, and it's a big strain and it's a big worry. How do you think they are coping with it, and do you have to watch for that?
But that's why you bring in your experienced players that have been there to help the players that have not been there yet. And then, of course, we have meetings and we try and help them with their mental state, if you like, because they've got to have that belief in what they're doing, not only in what we're doing, but in themselves, in the role that we're giving them. So. And there's not a day goes past without me or Downsy talking to these people individually to help them bring out their best game. Now, you know, difficult to talk to Asa and say, you know, we know exactly, he knows what his best game is, but some of the others, the younger ones, you have to help them with their, what they're thinking. Are they commentating in their heads when they're playing, or are they singing a song in their heads while they're playing? Do you know what I mean?
Which is best?
Well, yeah. I think you know.
Good chat with Gary.
Yeah.
It's some interesting aspects on the Tuesday night win and last Saturday when, let's not forget, and I would stand by this, we were the better team for 75 minutes.
Yeah.
And then everything went horribly wrong. Horribly, horribly wrong.
I was in Bristol getting drunk watching pop music.
Good heavens, you'd think you're a teenager again.
I lasted till 8 o'clock. My plan was to get to the 11 p.m. after gigs party, and I lasted till 8 o'clock.
Didn't make it.
I was watching Terminator 3 in the hotel room by 9:30.
Good heavens, you could have done that at home.
I'd seen what I wanted to see.
So we did. Regular listeners will know that we phrased a set of questions and asked for an interview with Gaming International.
Yep.
Because there are things which concern fans greatly, things about the future, what will happen next season if the worst comes to the worst and we are relegated, do we go part-time, is the search for a new stadium still going on? And the spectre, you know, you kind of extrapolate that until you think, well, what happens if Gaming International decide we're done, sell the club for a quid, write off the debts, and
it's a big debt to write off. I can't see them writing it off.
No, but that's the kind of thing that happens, isn't it? And you know, does the supporters trust then step in? What happens then?
Have the supporters trust got that kind of money? I think we all know the answer to that.
Oh yes. But we didn't get an answer for quite a long time. I did get a response at the Dagenham Redbridge game on Saturday. The response was that they don't want to talk to us right at the moment. It wasn't said in that kind of brusque manner. It was just, they're not up for an interview at the moment. They're concentrating on what's going on the pitch for the rest of the season.
Well, they've never been up for an interview, so that's a bit of a, at the moment, they didn't need to say at the moment, did they?
But I'm just presenting in good faith the response that I got.
Yeah.
I still think there are burning questions that we and the fans need to ask them.
Yeah.
People are getting impatient online, but that's what the internet's for.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are huge questions. Contracts, player contracts.
Well, that's up in the air anyway. But the sick pay change.
That's ridiculous.
I can't remember who's bringing it in. I should have done my research. But there's changes to their sick pay.
But, you know, which players have we got? Who's on 2-year contracts? Who stays? Who goes? Are we part time? Are we full time? These are really, really existential questions for Talker United.
Indeed.
I would really like to ask them, but we're not going to be able to do that before the end of the season. That's the response that we've got. They're entitled to respond any way they like, but I'll ask again at the end of the season. So to football, Rich. Let's talk football. Let's deal with the Dagenham and Redbridge game before we move on to the Boreham Wood game and the Scunthorpe game.
Yeah.
Dagenham and Redbridge, which you weren't at, but we took the lead with a fantastic goal.
It's in the goal. Aaron Jarvis. Beautiful. Yeah.
The ball was won by Kevin Dawson in a very Kevin Dawson-esque manner.
Yeah, only his first assist of the week, because of course he assisted another.
He was. I mean, he threw himself into that challenge, won the ball cleanly. It was a hard challenge. The ball broke to Jarvis. Jarvis just turned, took a look, stuck it in
the top
corner.
Is that 14 goals now?
I think it's 14. Looked at my spreadsheet.
That's all right. I think it's 14. Whatever it is, it's much better than he's done any other club he's been at.
If
there is one success story from this season,
it's Aaron Jarvis. I think there's more than one, but I'll come back to you on what the other ones might be. And Torquay were fine. They were, you know, they
you clocked the fruit bowl
accidentally. Torquay were fine. They were going okay. We all knew they'd need another goal because they always do.
Yeah.
We conceded a soft penalty, which
in the FPL put away. Well, you say it's a soft penalty. I mean, it was a silly challenge.
Yes.
Not the first time Ross Marshall's made a silly challenge in the penalty area this year.
Inie Effiong put that away. Then we took the lead through Frank Nublé. Is it Nublé?
Well, I thought it was Nublé from the off, and then I keep on hearing people say Nuble. But then
the commentator at Boreham Wood did get a few things. Asa Hall.
I've heard Asa Hall about 12 times.
Nudlovu for their striker.
Yeah, and then Ben Watt came on.
Yes, Ben Watt. Wasn't he in Everything But the Girl?
He was. Still is, I think.
Yeah. Nudlovu, by the way, the Coventry had a player in the 80s called Peter Undlove, who spelt his surname exactly the same way. So I'm going to say that the Boreham Wood guy is Undlove, unless I'm told differently.
And that's weird, because the Boreham Wood guy should know the Boreham Wood guy's name.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He should. But we digress. Nublé, because that's what we shall call
him. Well, that's what Alan Richardson has been calling him, and of course he will have known the player from Plymouth Argyle. So we'll bow to Alan's greater knowledge of the player.
But he did exactly what Gary signed him for, which was to get in front of his fullback, get to a cross first, smash the ball over the line with his head from 2 yards out.
I've stopped. It's a difficult angle because you're looking at you're looking at it from behind. But I have stopped the ball leaving the player's foot perfectly, and you look along that line. Well, you don't look along the line. You look from behind the line, and he looks onside to me.
I agree. He looked onside.
And then the photo in the paper, the bloke's got two hands on him pulling him back.
It's and on such fine margins.
Yeah, that it's not offside.
No. So we could have been 3 points better off than we are. It's all could-haves and would-haves and might-haves and Simon Mathers, isn't it? But, you know, these are the things, tiny little decisions like that just
destroy a game. And of course, Innie Effiong scored a very neat goal. He shouldn't have got in there.
No,
he shouldn't have been there. But it was a neat finish, and that just kills you, doesn't it? So that's dealt with that one. There were good performances there. Torquay played well. Dawson was terrific.
I started watching Pale Blue Eyes when we were 1-0 ahead, and when Pale Blue Eyes had finished, we were...
I tried to soften the blow on the live blog a little bit for you, because I thought you'd probably be following that, but...
I think my mate Andy was following it a bit behind me. I was right at the front, moshing.
Of course.
Moshing.
Of course. Good heavens. So, Tuesday night... Boreham Wood, complete with Denon Lewis from Love Island.
Yes, which I have to say, although they made a big thing of it, I watched Love Island, I don't remember him, because he was only in Casa Amor, so he was only on it for about four...
What's Casa Amor?
It's the other place it's, that they go, and then they bring in more women, and it's a tempt... Blokes with other women, or other women with other blokes, whatever.
Doesn't sound like my kind of television.
No, it's not your kind of television guy, obviously. so you get people who are only in there for 3 or 4 days, and he was one of them, apparently. I don't remember him.
Because there was a bit of a hoo-ha, wasn't there, when he went, that Boreham Wood didn't know he was going or something. Boreham Wood were not best pleased that he'd gone off to
That was a Halifax player, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, two footballers.
There's been more than two.
Oh, well, no, yeah, in fact, I've done Denon Lewis in misservice there.
Yeah, no, it's a regular occurrence. Normally non-league players.
He looked pretty good, actually. He played pretty well Tuesday night.
Yeah.
He did well. You said, you sent me a message when the teams came in that this was our best lineup this season.
It looked it.
It and looked then strong, if you, didn't it?
The caveat being that Tom Lapsley wasn't available because of a suspension. We'll come to that later. I thought, that's the strongest team on paper I've seen Gary Johnson be able to put out this season.
And 116 Torquay fans there again. Another great turnout for a horrible, cold, wet Tuesday night.
No cover.
Almost every radio presenter in the country was there, apart from Ken Bruce, by the sound of it.
Really?
Yeah, they were all there. There were Jim Proudfoot was there, Charlie Baker was there, various others were there. So it was everybody.
Ken Bruce, of course, is in hibernation until next Monday.
He's on gardening leave, isn't he? He could have gone to Boreham Wood Tuesday night.
The Potmaster next Monday, isn't it?
Are we going to tune in for Potmaster next Monday?
For the return of Potmaster. actually, I should have done that in a Ken Bruce. I can't do a Ken Bruce voice. Can you do a Ken Bruce voice?
Oh, I can't do a Ken Bruce voice. A good goal, Asa Hall.
Yeah, Asa.
Asa Hall. A cross from Dawson. What's he doing out there crossing the ball?
Oh, no. Well, he gets around, doesn't he?
He does get around.
So that was his second assist of the week.
The second booking of the week as well, I think.
Was it?
No, he might not have been booked Saturday. He has picked up 3 bookings in 5 games. But we said when he first arrived, he likes a tackle. He's not afraid.
Well, he won the ball for that goal, Aaron's goal, with a tackle that could have been construed by another referee. Yeah. And let's face it, we've had lots of another referees this season.
Oh, we have, haven't we just? But it was a lovely finish. It was a header directed back across the goal to a space where there wasn't a defender, which is just clever.
It did look easy, as I said to Gary in the press conference earlier on. It looked easy, but it was far from easy, that header.
Yeah. Lovely finish. And I mean, there were some good performances all over the pitch as well. Mark Holstead, although as Gary said afterwards, he didn't really have a shot to save, but he dominated that box. And he is indeed the wizard of the dark arts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think I've ever seen a goalkeeper take so long over goal kicks without the referee intervening.
No.
You know, he's obviously very good at moving the ball around a little bit. Yeah. Knows exactly where not to cross the line. And you know, his contribution to running the clock down was invaluable.
Nico Lawrence.
What a player.
I thought that was a fantastic performance by him. He was sensational, if I say so.
Yeah. And elsewhere as well, Ali Omar... Bless him, Sean Donovan has to go off injured. Ali Omar comes off the bench into a game that he probably thought he might not have a part to play in, and he just hurled himself in front of everything, which is exactly what you want him to do. Mark Holstead got it. Well, I'm not quite sure. I wrote down in the wars again because he got clattered by somebody, but did he, or was he just...
Yeah.
Did he have one eye on his watch when he was down there on the ground? But he's an iron.
There's
man.
A lot. I'm surprised that when these players go down now, the FA haven't stamped down on then everyone going to the bench to talk tactics.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's
because that's what
point.
Happens nowadays. That never used to happen.
And as Gary once said, it wasn't even this season, but if the goalkeeper goes down, the game has to stop.
Yeah.
You know, the referee can't wave play on if the goalkeeper's down. Yeah. So that's the only certain chance you've got to get your players over and chat to them is if the goalkeeper goes down.
It's happening a lot more than it used to, put it that way.
It absolutely is. Do you know, that means we've had 4 wins at home and 4 wins away this season now.
Is that all?
Yeah. It's not been great, has it?
Horrible, isn't it?
It is absolutely horrible, but there you go. It was a good performance Tuesday night, and it's the hope again that kills you.
Absolutely. And I think what was really pleasing is, you know, you see 7 minutes go up and you thought, oh my God.
I
don't know where he got the 7 minutes from, to be fair, but then he didn't have a
Mark Holstead, probably.
Well, probably. and you thought, oh my God, what's going to happen here? The reverse Gary time that has been plaguing us over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Months.
But we didn't look like conceding a goal.
We didn't look like conceding.
At that point, the confidence
defended
has
really
grown.
Well.
Defensively outstanding. And as you say, Nico Lawrence. We're expecting to see him out on loan at a League One or League Two club next season.
I'm going to say it now. I think he'll end up playing, if not regularly, but I think he will end up playing for England at some point.
Mm. Yeah, I think you might be right.
There we go. I've said it.
There you go. It wouldn't be the first time that we've had a rookie central defender who's gone on ended up to play for England. Steve Bold, of course, is one of those.
Keith Curl.
Nico Lawrence could add his name to that list. Good stuff. Scunthorpe, Saturday. We should put a little ban on using the phrase 6-pointer after I've said it there. We'll not say it, but
I've got to use it this week in the preview. give me some leeway.
So we're 22nd, they're 23rd. We're level on points.
Yeah.
Everything to play for. The last 5 games, sorry, the last 6 games, they've won 2, drawn 1 and lost 3 of the last 6.
Yeah.
We drew 1 each with them at Plainmoor on October the 1st. Dan Martin, the scorer. Great to hear that Dan's close to fitness.
We saw
now.
Dan today, didn't we? Going
we
into
did
training.
See Dan. Yeah, he's gone into training. He's training hard. As Gary said, it's not been so much the ankle injury.
The ankle injury, Gary says, has cleared up. It's the long COVID issues.
The effects of COVID. Not the first Torquay player in the last 2 or 3 seasons to suffer from that. It is a thing. And if you're an athlete performing at a reasonably professional level, it makes a big, big difference. But it's good to see Dan. He's a cheerful presence when he comes into training always.
We'd love to see
him back in the team. We've played them 65 times down the years.
I'm not surprised,
We've won 16, we've drawn 18, and lost 31 times to Scunthorpe. But it doesn't mean we're going to lose.
They're in trouble though, aren't they? You know?
They are in trouble.
It'd be interesting to see what kind of team they put out and how they... I haven't done my research for this week's preview yet, but I don't know if they're trying to stop teams or they're trying to play football or what. It'd be interesting to see.
Just for them,
knowing the manager as I do, not personally, but having watched him play a lot of games for St Ives in the past up in Cambridgeshire, he was a hard, hard midfielder. I would have thought that will come through in his team.
But then again, for them... For the same as for us, draws are no use at all.
No use whatsoever. So they'll be blimmin' disappointed from Saturday. Yeah. Tuesday night, especially as it was a clean sheet as well. They just needed a goal. I'm trying to remember who they were playing. York. See, York aren't out of it either.
No, they're
so
not. They're not.
That's a disappointing result for them.
And Torquay, sorry, Tom, but 3 points on Saturday and we start to clamber up again. We start to pull ourselves closer to Yeovil.
I did say that we need 6 points out of these 2 games, so I think we still need to win on Saturday to actually...
I agree with you.
...turn the tide a bit.
Before we go do all our yesterdays then, let's have a look at these remaining fixtures. Julian has been challenging us to do this, to go through the remaining fixtures.
Let's do it.
And see what we think we'll get. So, how many points we've got at the moment? I haven't got a league table. Just talk amongst yourselves while I pull up a league table. I should know this. I was going to write
That's
it
what
down.
AI is for, Guy. You could just ask AI to talk for a minute or two while we just do our research.
AI, this is interesting. Well, what we're going to do later on in the podcast, you challenged AI to write a story about Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
Having lost his car keys.
Yeah.
And that was just
coming up, folks.
Just the first thing that came to your head, because you'd presumably mislaid your car keys.
No, I literally got access to Bard, who gave me access. I think there's a little waiting list, and I think I'd suddenly got an email yesterday saying, you're in. So I just literally put in the prompt box, tell me a story about Torquay United manager Gary Johnson losing his car keys.
That's all you
and
had to do.
At the end of the podcast, folks.
We would have Jack and Ori time.
It will be Jack and Ori time.
I will read you a story, which Richard has sent me about that. So in the meantime, yeah, we're 22nd on 34 points, having played 39 games. Scunthorpe have played a game more, and they're on 34 yeah. points as well. The team that we're aiming at is Gateshead. They are on 40, so the gap is 6 points.
Yeah. Well, it's 7 points, isn't it? Because our goal difference is...
It is.
There's one team that our goal difference is better than that, I think, if I remember rightly. But
is it Maidstone? Aldershot. People keep saying Aldershot. Aldershot are going to drop down. They've played 40 games. They're on 43 points. So they're
They're still on the verge then, are they? Because
they've played more games than anybody else.
Yeah.
So Aldershot are maybe. Again, we have Aldershot fans. You love Aldershot.
Yeah.
You love them, Aldershot. Wouldn't it be nice?
My favourite team.
Do you know what? You know what's going to happen. We've been saying for weeks that it could all be decided long before the final game.
Yeah.
But we are going into the final game against Wrexham needing a point, aren't we? You're looking forward to the game against Wrexham.
I can't
wait. All the Hollywood tinsel that rubs off on playing.
I can't wait. I'm going to wear my invisibility cloak.
It's going to be fantastic. There's going to be 750 press there, and you, me and Dave.
Yeah. Steve Harris.
And Steve Harris. How could I forget Steve Harris?
You can never forget Steve Harris.
Never forget Steve Harris.
I'm apologising for Guy.
But the more this goes on, the more you think that last day is going. Well, Wrexham will be finished by then. They'll have won it. But
do you think?
We're going to need something out of that game. I just feel it in my water that we're going to need something
out of that game. Let's do these games. Come on then.
Let's do them. Okay. We're away at Scunthorpe.
Win.
Okay. So 3 points there. I think. Oh, win. What the hell? I put a pound on Torquay to win at Boreham Wood.
Did you? So got a fiver back?
Got a fiver back.
Brilliant.
Last of the big spenders.
Bookies.
Home to Eastleigh. Eastleigh are... they're sixth, so they're in the
playoffs. I was going to go win every game, but now you've said Eastleigh, I think I'm going to take it a bit more seriously. I'll say a draw.
Yeah, I think... let's pool our resources on this one. So, yeah, I think so. Maidenhead... they're 15th, their season's done. They're not going up, they're not going down. I think we can win there. I think we could win that one. As long as we don't concentrate on all the trains going past.
Yeah.
Home to York.
Win.
We have to win.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we'll win. Away at Chesterfield. No.
I think I might put down that as a defeat. Because Chesterfield. There's going to be one, isn't there?
Chesterfield need to get into...
the playoff. Oh, no, they're in the playoff.
Yeah, they need to get into third place, really, to get... so they don't have to play that first playoff game, which means they will need to overtake Woking.
I said a defeat. I'll go with a defeat.
Away at Altrincham, that's going to be hard. They score. They were a weird team when we played them. They just attack, don't they, Altrincham? They don't defend, which is why we got four goals against them.
Then we'll win.
We scored four, but unfortunately they did as well.
Yeah, no, a win.
A win. And so by the time we get home to Wrexham... we'll have got 13 points. We've got
hooray! We've done it.
13 points we'll have picked up, which would give
us. I think what would that give us?
47. Ooh. That's more than a point a game. And we said at the start of the season that a point a game.
50 points is the kind of magic line, isn't it?
46 is what was the least that we were aiming at.
Might leave us wanting something from Wrexham.
It will. I just.
Even winning 13 points.
Still leaves us needing something from the Wrexham game.
Oh my good gracious me.
And it'll be razzmatazz and it'll be like an episode of Ted Lasso, whatever that is. It's just going to be amazing. The place will be packed.
Yeah,
Wrexham fans are already trying to find ways around.
I shall be having a word with Dom to make sure that we're all three of the four of us are sitting together. So
I need a padlock on the little fold down. We only need one of those fold downs.
But if for some reason some teams bring people who seem to need more than one seat each.
Press box etiquette again. Yeah, we start to pick up our handbags, don't we? At this point, because people invade our space
next time.
Well, I'm not going to cross you then. So, talking of Scunthorpe, down memory lane for a bit. How old were you in May 1988, Rich?
I was 17.
17. Did you go to the playoff games?
I was at the game, yeah. I remember the games very well. And is that the game? Did we beat them and then go and play Swansea?
if we did.
You know that picture I've got where it looks like I'm sitting in front of a very, very young actor from Wales called... I can't remember. Yeah, we're in the Way End. My whole family at Swansea. So, yeah.
Oh, I have seen that.
Yeah.
I have seen that. So, May the 15th, 1988, Torquay United versus Scunthorpe at Playmore was an absolute...
I remember running onto the pitch afterwards.
I got in trouble with our editor at the time.
Did you?
Because our editor, a chap called Jim Mitchell, set very high standards. Yep. Very, very high standards. And a chap called Paul Nicol was sent off for Scunthorpe. Yep. And on the, was it TSW then? It probably was. TSW roundup the following evening. I was standing at the back of the pop side doing this, which is vigorous.
He's flicking the Vs, listeners.
Vigorous V sign as Paul Nicol made his way off the pitch.
Nice. And I was were you in denim? Double denim, please?
Probably. Yes. Probably. And the editor called me in on the Monday and he said, you need to be a little bit more careful.
I'll tell you what, Jim Mitchell wants to come and sit in the press box when the away people are in then,
yes,
swearing their heads off.
I was reprimanded for dispatching Mr. Nicol with a big V sign. It was a bit like that.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that.
Because, of course, headmasters could still give the cane in 1987.
They probably
could. So I presume that the head editors could as well.
They probably could. I think I'll probably escape that if memory serves me correctly. Dave Caldwell and Paul Dobson. Scored for us that day.
Yeah, what a lineup.
And there's that story that Dave tells about Dave Caldwell he was carried off injured, wasn't he? And he ended up in casualty at Torbay Hospital. And the chap sitting alongside him was one of the Scunthorpe players who he had helped to dispatch to casualty.
Yes.
I think they probably shook hands through and greeted each other through gritted teeth.
Yeah.
But it was a hell of a game.
Yeah. I don't really remember the game very well. I can remember the celebrations afterwards.
It was wild. And then on May the 18th, we went up to Scunthorpe and drew 1-1. Mark Loram, the goal scorer, the Brixham Pele, the scorer there. And then May the 25th, the games came thick and fast. We were up at Swansea. You were up at Swansea.
That's where we were. Dave Easton was the second at the time, and I think we got a ticket off him, and it ended up being in the home end, which was really weird.
Ooh.
And
Thanks, Dave.
Sitting down. But Paula V wanders past at some point, takes a photo, and we were in the Herald Express. So there we go.
There you go. Fame at last.
I have that photo framed.
It was 2-1 to Swansea. Jim McNicol scored for us. And then on May the 28th, in front of 5,000 people back at Playmore, if I remember rightly, it was
more than 5,000.
Quagmire. It was a quagmire that day.
Yeah.
It was absolutely teeming with rain.
And of course, this is the playoff final.
Yes, it is.
Two legs, first year of the playoffs.
And we drew 3-3
with
Swansea. Paul Rayner was one of the Swansea scorers that day.
Yeah, our favourite man.
And our goals were scored. Jim McNicol with two headers.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Caldwell. And Caldwell went so close towards the end of the game as well.
Mm.
But there you go, 3-3. That was a thrilling playoff season. It's only a season after the Great Escape.
Yes,
the Bryn Great Escape. But there you are, Cyril Knowles had turned things around a bit. Stuart Morgan had built the foundations of the team.
And then departed.
And Cyril Knowles had turned them into playoff finalists.
Super Cyril Knowles.
A couple of other things that I scribbled down during the course of it. I scribbled down Kiefer Moore, Wales 1, Latvia 0. Scored the only goal of the game.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Good to see that. And then we were talking, we should have talked about this earlier on really, but the players who came in the summer and what sort of contracts they must be on at Torquay. And we don't know, do we? In years gone by...
Ever since Gary's been there, and I don't know if it's a Gary thing or if it's a... Gaming International thing, but they do not release.
We don't know.
They do not release details of contracts. I mean, you know, years ago, they used to tell you without even flinching how long the contract.
Undisclosed fees for transfers.
The information is
not what it was. But the players who came in, this is worth thinking about for Torquay fans who want something to ponder over the next few days. The players who came in the summer. I mean, I've got 8 names written down. I wonder how many of them are on 2 years.
I'll use my intuition to tell
before
you.
Before we do Jack and Ori.
Yeah, go on then.
Ryan Hansen.
1 year.
Aaron Jarvis.
2 years.
Brett McGavin.
2 years.
Sean Donnellan.
1 year.
Dylan Crowe.
1 year.
Rhys Lovett.
1 year.
Ross Marshall.
1 year.
Ben Wyatt.
1 year.
Okay.
So you now have the definitive guide as to the contracts.
So Ryan,
of course, I've just made that up.
So Ryan Hansen's staying then, but all the others are on 1 year. But it's just interesting to know, you know, those players who came in, what sort of deals they were on. We'll never know.
Yeah.
Well, we won't know until the retainer.
Aaron Jarvis, I cannot see you not giving him 2 years.
No. Well, you would have tried.
In the state of the club at the time, you know, there was quite a good feeling about this season. I think he would have been giving 2 years.
And you would I think the way that
Gary talked up McGavin at the start of the season, I think he would have been given 2 years as well.
We're going to finish. We finished last week with DIY Dave.
Yeah.
We're going to finish
this. He's
week.
Here today, by he the way. But keep it quiet.
He is indeed. With a bit of AI, Rich, explain what this is about. Because you've been to gigs with teenagers, so you're down with this kind of thing.
Yeah, I was in bed by 8:30. AI, obviously, is the fashionable thing, with caveats that it could be the end of the world.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah, artificial intelligence. There are a lot of websites now, and this is the Google one, Bard, that you just need to literally just ask it to write you something, and it will write you something. And technically, it's very good, as in, you know, the way it styles out the sentences and,
yeah,
you know, and punctuation. It's written better than most people can write. And I'm not ashamed to say that I read it and thought, oh, crikey, you know, it's very good. Factually, it's not always so good. I've asked it to do a few things in the last couple of days about Talk United where it's just made stuff up. When it can't find the right fact that it needs on the interweb,
it's like a journalist.
It's just made something up.
It's like a blooming journalist.
Yeah. But I did ask it, one of the first things I asked it to do, and it just popped into my mind. I thought, well, what shall I ask it to do? And I literally just wrote into the prompt box, write a short story about Talk United manager Gary Johnson losing his keys.
And here it comes. And if you're sitting comfortably, then I'll begin. And this is a bedtime story for Hayden, who listens to us last thing at night. If he stays awake till the end of this, it will be a miracle.
Hayden, I'll bring you a cookie and milk afterwards.
Milk and cookies, okay. It was a cold and rainy night in Torquay. The Gulls had just lost a tough match to Yeovil Town, and Gary Johnson was feeling down. He walked out of the stadium and into the parking lot, only to realise that he'd lost his car keys. He searched everywhere for them, but they were nowhere to be found. He was starting to panic when he saw a young boy standing nearby. "Excuse me," Johnson said, "have you seen my car keys?" The boy nodded. "I found them," he said. "They were on the ground over there." Johnson was so relieved. He thanked the boy and went to get his car. As he was driving home, he thought about what had just happened. He realised that even though he had lost his car keys, he'd still found them. And that was a good reminder that even when things are tough, there is always hope. Don't make me laugh. The next day, Johnson went to the boy's house to thank him again. The boy's parents were very grateful. They told Johnson that their son was a very special boy and that they were lucky to have him. Johnson left feeling happy and inspired. He knew that he'd made a difference in someone's life, and that was a good feeling. The end. The story of Gary Johnson's car keys by the artificial intelligence bot, read by me.
It's going to go down history as a moment, one of the best moments on the podcast
there
ever.
There you go. And if anybody's still awake now, fair play to you.
I did ask it to tell me about Richard Hughes, the sports journalist who writes about Talk United.
Oh dear.
And it came up with a paragraph that basically said, Richard Hughes is a sports journalist who writes about Talk United and can also be heard on the Talk United Yellow Army podcast.
Yes, we have arrived in the world of artificial intelligence.
AI knows about us.
Folks, thank you very much for listening. One thing I did remember, he won't still be listening at the end now, but Gladys, who we said lived in Cowdenbeath, lives in Kilmarnock. Ooh. And that's a big mistake on my part.
I've been
part.
To Kilmarnock.
Go. So apologies, Gladys. Thank you for listening. If you're going to Scunthorpe on Saturday, have a safe journey up and back. Give them a cheer for us. You never
Three
know.
Points.
It's positive, optimistic time
all
for us.
All the way.
3 points.
See, Tom?
All the way.
There positive till the end.
We finish as always. Come on, you yellows. What do you reckon AI would make of that?
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below the Wembley Archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up for the ride.